The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's saving specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank. Ask the specialists on the Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's saving specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
Now, anyone, I don't know if you read it, but one American family recently discovered they had the only copy of the long thought lost first recording by none other than Elvis Presley, and it's going to be auctioned off next month. Well, anyone who's ever watched Antiques Roadshow has possibly wondered what it would be like to chance upon a valuable something or another lying around the house. Apparently, at the moment, a US collector had film posters, and he had his collection valued at $8 million for film posters. And then somebody else was kind of found James Crick's Nobel Medal that was awarded to him when he discovered DNA, and that was sold for $2 million. Now, of course, this gets the dollar bills going in people's eyes, but I guess it's not as easy as all that. I'm joined in studio now by the auctioneer Ian White, a specialist in this world. What's all the go at the moment, Ian?
Well, the traditional ones like art are always around and that, but we've noticed some trends. Certainly the pop and rock memorabilia, which you mentioned there, Elvis Presley, is
wasn't
very,
that
very
extraordinary?
Popular. Yeah, well, we sold his first commercial recording.
Oh, really?
Last year, I think it was, yeah, or the year before, for about $65,000. I see they're looking for $500,000 for this one, because that one wasn't actually issued at the time. But we sold...
How'd you come across it?
It wasn't a come-across thing, because there was a collector here in Ireland who'd actually paid £20,000 for a number of years before, so it was known.
Yeah.
But we do occasionally come across things. I mean, people bring in lesser items. Like, yeah. We had the last auction thing, we had Beatles autographs on the ticket for their concert in the Adelphi Cinema back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Their one and only appearance here in Ireland. Yeah. And you know, that fetched 5,000 or 6,000, you know.
All
and,
right.
We even had an air hostess from Aer Lingus who was on the flight bringing them over and got them to sign the menu of the
Was Aer Lingus. She a clever clogs?
She certainly was. The interesting one, that one, was that it was Paul McCartney's signature was forged by John Lennon, because McCartney refused to sign it and John signed it, Paul McCartney. So it was, we sold a genuine thing with a forgery in the middle of it. But again, fetched about 5,000.
Good Lord. Yeah. Well, I hope that gave...
Yeah. But those kind of things, yeah, pop and rock is popular. Movies are big. There's a great interest in movie posters. Because it seems to be a great revival of interest in the cinema in general. I mean, people, I suppose because of all the film channels we have now.
Yeah.
And the other great collectible is history, because of all, the history channels that are on television and all the documentaries, and especially coming up now, we're in the decade of centenaries, as they call it. So people are interested in memorabilia and militaria from the First World War through to the 1916 Rising, the War of Independence, even the Civil War, which we, you know, 50 years ago, nobody would have talked about.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so which is when I was beginning in the trade. And, you know, so it's interesting to see what's collected.
And say for 1916, does the fact that, you know, the anniversary is imminent, does that affect the market, so to speak?
It heightens people's awareness of it. And obviously with all the programmes, the books and everything, people get interested. That's nice. And then you might see something in an auction or at a medal fair, an antiques fair or something. You know, we can buy a 1916 medal that was actually awarded to one of the men who was there. And you might pay anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000, depending on who it was, or actually up to 100,000, in fact, which is what Tom Clark's medal fetched.
Really?
Yeah.
And I gather anything to do with Michael Collins.
He is number one in the history hit parade.
He?
Yeah, he's our number one man, followed by Padraig Pearse. Actually, he's making good progress in terms. Parnell is another one that people seem to like. He's very popular amongst the law trade for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, we have a lot of solicitors and barristers who seem to be interested in Parnell for some reason or other.
God, I'll have to figure that
one
out.
I don't know what it's about and that. But Daniel O'Connell too is another big one. Yeah. And obviously all the leaders of the right. And Eamon de Valera is beginning to make headway again. And he was not so popular for a while. And we have a number of collectors who collect things to do with Eamon de Valera. You know, he's the longest living survivor of it. And
yes.
And of course, he was president for so long. So
yeah.
And that. And he, the only thing with Eamon de Valera is just awarded, he'd be bringing up, I have his signature. He signed everything. He was a great signer. But if you can get his early signatures from the 1916 to 22-25 period, they are rare. But the ones from the 60s, 70s,
right,
when he'd sign anything that was put in front of him.
And yet I was interested to see that, was it a copy of the Declaration had gone down in value?
That's right. What happens sometimes is that speculators enter the market. We always say, well, the collectors, there's a base of collectors. These are the people who really collect, really love the things that they're buying, and they research them. They know what things are worth. So if they say, if they decide that a proclamation's worth 100, 150,000, they won't pay above that. But when people who aren't collecting, and especially this happened in the period of 2000 to 2007, when we were all making far too much money and we didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So people marched, I'd like to have a proclamation on my, in my office to show off, you know, this kind of thing. There was a bit of that. So people entered the market and paid 300,000-400,000 for a proclamation that's now selling for 80,000-120,000. So it went away from the base. I think at 80,000-120,000 is not a bad investment.
Yes, actually. I am. Yeah,
I think if I had the money, I'd go for it myself.
Well, I suppose they have to be rare.
There's only there were 500 printed. They intended to print 1,000, but they didn't have time. There's a problem with the printing, which I won't go into. But there's about 50 in existence, and about 25 of those are in public institutions, which will never come to the market. So that leaves only about 20-25 of the market. So at 100,000, it's a good bet. I mean, the American equivalent, the Declaration of Independence, sells for $1 million to $2 million a piece.
Right. So, yeah, but then it's a different.
There's a lot of people interested in that
scale.
One.
Different scale. Yeah. Though, I mean, it was a very fine declaration. It has to be said.
It is.
Collecting investment, what's the difference between the two?
I usually try, when people come up to me and say I want to invest in some collectible, be it art or be it coins or stamps or military or old flags or whatever it is, I usually say to them, look, the best thing is to collect rather than invest. Get an interest. If there's something that actually interests you, see what collectibles are around in that area and then collect them, study them. The idea of collectors should always try to get more knowledge than the dealer and the auctioneer.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you want to be on top of your game. You want to know what's a rare thing. Look for the specialties. You know, the dealer and auctioneer might know that such and such is valuable, but you might know there's a nuance to it that's even better, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the collectors that make the market, really. So I do advise people to, there are some people who don't have time to do all that. And they say,
just
go and buy me some stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And okay, we will look after them. And we tried to do that. I often say with people when they come to our exhibition and they're looking at art, say, and they say, what will I invest in? I said, go around, make a list of the best 10, the 10 pictures you like the most. And we go through the list. And then we say, right, that painting's a decoration. It's always going to be a decoration, but it's reasonable enough, so you might as well have it. That one is a really good one. I think they'll go up in value. That one, I think, is a bit overpriced. And you go down, and then they form their list rather than just go out. And it has to be something they like, though. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing that people stress.
We try to start. Though sometimes they come in and say they like some stuff. So hang on a second. Maybe you tune your taste a bit more. You know?
Right, okay. Books and magazines, do they?
Generally speaking, at the moment, thanks to the internet, books and magazines, unfortunately, are beginning to slip down the list of things that people want to collect. But having said that, you know, you'll still get great money for the first edition of Ulysses. You'll get good money for it in more recent times, Seamus Heaney's books. And he produced a lovely series of poetry books, some of them in really nice limited editions where he signed each one, and those type of things are collectible.
Right.
We see it with the Harry Potter books even. Those are madly collectible, the first edition of those. James Bond books are still very popular.
Amazing. Now, a couple of questions in for Ian White. I was looking back at some old coins,
yes.
Some of which dated back to the 1940s and 1950s. I assumed these would be worth a bit, but when I Googled, they weren't even worth a euro.
Well, if they have a 1943 two-shilling piece, or a florin as we used to call it, an Irish one, now it has to be the Irish 1943, that could be worth anywhere from 5 to 15,000 euro. So tell her to go back to her silver and have another look.
Right, okay. Ask about Pierce books.
Yes.
I have them all.
There's a complete set of his works. I think it's 4 or 5 volumes. The first edition is very good. If you can find some of the early books, we had one in our last auction where he had a book that he dedicated to Joseph Plunkett in his own handwriting. I think that went for about 3 or 4,000. So if they're signed, great. That'll add 1,000 to 2,000 to them.
Oh, right.
If they're the ones published, I think the set she's talking about was published after the Rising. And that set in decent bindings can fetch anywhere from 500 upwards. You know.
Okay, Marion, will you kindly ask, is an old 1D or 1918 penny any good?
I'm afraid not. No, sorry to say. It might mean something. It's the end of the First World War, so they can keep it for that, but maybe a few pence, I'm afraid,
right.
A few cents.
Okay. Yeah. So the motto is, buy what you like.
I think buy what you like, get an interest and collect it, and
right.
Then you'll have some great fun, make some money. I mean, you know, be like Eric Clapton. He went and bought a picture for $400,000 in 1994,
yeah,
and sold it in 2012 for $34 million. Just to tell
all
you,
right.
You know. So there is some money.
So
in
there
it.
Is investment
yeah,
there
yeah.
too. Okay, okay, we leave it there, Ian White. Thank you very, very
thanks,
much
right.
indeed for coming in.
Thanks.
I know you're off to an auction.
I have to go back to my auction.
Yeah, that's
I'll leave
right.
There.
Okay, thank you very, very much indeed. That's
thank
it.
You.
An Irish art auction.